Miriam Berry, the former mayor of Washington, D.C., died early yesterday morning. For more than 40 years, Berry was one of the most powerful and controversial figures in the city. The four-term mayor and longtime council member was part of the generation of civil rights leaders elected to the district's first locally elected government in the 1970s. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, WAMU's Jacob Fenston has this remembrance.
In the aftermath of the 1968 riots that destroyed blocks and blocks of inner-city Washington, in the days when Congress ruled the district with no real input from residents, one of the very first local exercises in democracy was a citizens' police board to rein in abusive cops. In the crowd of one of the early meetings was a young man with a long mustache and leopard print shirt.
Miriam, everybody and his mother knows that the police is the number one problem in America.
From the very beginning of local electoral politics in D.C., Marion Barry was always front and center. For nearly half a century, he was the biggest booster of the city and its residents.
Washington, D.C. is one of the greatest places in the world to live, work, and do business.
But he was also dogged by scandal after scandal as Washington, D.C. became synonymous with violence and drugs. Barry was born into poverty in the Mississippi Delta in 1936. He spent most of his youth in Memphis, deep in the racist and segregated South.
Even the zoo was segregated. That's how oppressive things were.
Barry was swept up in the civil rights movement during college. In 1960, he was finishing up his master's degree in chemistry when he was elected the first chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC.
We were sort of the shock troops of the civil rights movement.
Frank Smith was another of the group's early members. He and Barry did the dangerous work of registering black voters in the South. Barry came to Washington in 1965 to start a SNCC office here. Smith followed a few years later.
We're trying to get all these people registered to vote in Mississippi and Alabama. You get to Washington, D.C. and find out these people don't have a right to vote.
The majority black city couldn't elect its own mayor or city council and had no voice in Congress. Barry thrived in the Washington, D.C. of the 1960s. He was at home with the young and disenfranchised.
We want the people outside, inside, that's all.
When D.C. gained home rule in 1973, Barry won an at-large seat on the new district council, the first local elected legislature in 100 years.
Barry created an environment where blacks got a chance to get ahead.
This is Isaac Fullwood. As a young police officer, he got to know Barry during his early years on the council.
I don't know whether I saved his life.
He's talking about March 9th, 1977, one of the many moments when Barry's life seems larger than life. That afternoon, Barry walked into the district building and into the path of Hanafi Muslims who'd stormed the council offices.
And then we were told they thought somebody was injured and in the city council chambers.
Fullwood found council member Barry bleeding from the chest. He'd been shot just above the heart. Barry would remember Fullwood in coming years.
The man made me chief of police. He gave me an opportunity that I would not have had.
In 1978, Barry ran for mayor.
Do you still consider yourself an activist?
This is from March 1979, a few months after Barry's inauguration as mayor. He spoke at the National Press Club.
Well, I'm more active than ever before, I just tell you that.
Barry won that first mayoral race with a broad coalition of support.
There was that bright and shining moment in 1978 when Marion was elected.
Longtime D.C. journalist Harry Jaffe, who co-authored a book about Barry.
It was a sense that the city would be united along racial lines.
Barry's administration modernized the district government, and he boosted the city's black middle class.
Washington, D.C. was a leading city in this country in getting black people into jobs.
Frank Smith was elected to the council while Barry was mayor.
We built the biggest black middle class in the country.
But the city was in for tough times.
Well, let me just say that I have stated over and over that under no circumstances would I be around people who use drugs. I don't need to use drugs. I've not done so.
That's Barry in 1989. That year, there would be 434 murders in the city, hitting a new record high for the second year in a row. The violence was spurred by the crack cocaine trade, and there were rumors the mayor himself was a user.
I was with him the night that he was arrested. I wasn't with him at the hotel.
Frank Smith again. The night was January 18th, 1990. The hotel was the Vista downtown.
You okay?
So I got on, and my son had called me about five times. He said, "Dad, you need to turn on your television." He said, "They got Barry."
Barry made a choice. And the choice was a bad choice.
Isaac Fullwood was police chief then.
Chief Fullwood is being notified right now of what's going on.
When you think about it, and you think about the guy who, whose life was a purposeful life, you just think that how did it go wrong? Here's a guy who fought and came face to face with death, and yet he makes this foolish move and gets himself locked up for crack cocaine.
There was great disappointment.
Michelle Bernard runs the Bernard Center for Women, Politics, and Public Policy. She worked closely with Barry during the 1990s.
That's been very difficult for the African-American community because we need our heroes to be superheroes.
Barry was charged with 14 counts. He was convicted on just one count of cocaine possession. After 6 months in prison, he had a hero's welcome home.
There's no shame and disgrace in being addicted to anything. The shame and disgrace is not making the decision to seek help.
Writer Harry Jaffe says Barry's arrest divided the city. Many whites, he says, saw it as a vindication, while many blacks saw it as entrapment.
These were very difficult times. It was black against white.
Times would get more difficult. After another stint on the D.C. Council, Barry was reelected mayor for a fourth term. But city finances were not in good shape.
We're going to ask our citizens to make some very difficult sacrifices.
In the years since, the district has bounced back, and some of the groundwork was laid during Barry's years as mayor. Michelle Bernard says Barry remained a hero for many Washingtonians, despite his personal shortcomings.
You always knew that no matter what Marion Barry had going on in his personal life, you know, to know that there is a black man in office who has your back. He's got some problems, but he has your back.
Barry always argued the media fixated on those problems, ignoring his accomplishments.
If we put it in chapter terms, 100 chapters of my life, long life, the media tends to focus on just two chapters. The 98 chapters are gone by the wayside.
Marion Barry, probably the most beloved and polarizing figure in D.C., passed away early Sunday morning at age 78. For Here and Now, I'm Jacob Fenston in Washington.